National Indigenous Day is right around the corner here in Canada, and the cathedral in this morning's service celebrated by having a guest speaker. There has been a big focus in the church on being intentional about responding to the TRC calls to action, and this is a part of that. Marnie asked me if I wanted to be a part of this for St. Bridget's, so we had a meeting, and Andrew was there too, and we discussed how we could fit this theme of National Aboriginal Day into our service. I had some reservations about it, mostly because of the fear that I wouldn't know what to do or say. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Michael Cook, and I am a First Nations man from the Cree Nation, and more specifically from the Barren Lands Band. The Cree Nation is one of the largest groups of Indigenous peoples in North America. Most of our numbers mostly come from the Canadian prairies of Alberta, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Ontario. My parents were from northern Manitoba area. I am also a gay man. I wondered what to talk about today. I also wondered how to draw from the readings, and what did I have to say about National Indigenous Day? I am certainly not an expert in my culture. All I have is my experience with God and with the church and with the limited knowledge of my culture. I know our people were lied to. I know our people were denied their spirituality. I know we were taken from our land so that its resources could be taken for financial gain. I know we were told that we were under judgment for worshiping false gods. I know that our children were forced into residential schools for 10 months out of the year from as early as age 5. I know we were not allowed to speak our native tongue. I know I could go on, but I really didn't want this to be about the negative things I have experienced, but it is a part of my past and therefore a part of me. I came from the Baptist tradition and later moved into the charismatic evangelical form of Christianity. The Baptist instilled in me a fundamentalism and the knowledge of the inerrant word of God. And the charismatics, well, speaking in tongues. But both did nothing for me in terms of my battle with homosexuality and with being a native person. You see, I was told a lie that homosexuality was a sin. I was told in my faith traditions and that native spirituality was a sin. So for me, I was in constant battle with the core of who I was. To deny oneself of who they are is to deny them of truly living. You become someone you're not meant to be. And other people find it harder to accept you fully. I could also say that as a whole, as a native culture, the same could be said. In my search for God and for acceptance, I randomly went to churches that I would see on TV and experienced one moment where it was in Texas. So as you can imagine, it was very conservative in its beliefs, and you know, gays were seen as militant and the enemy, and this preacher was really on fire and spoke against, you know, the gay community, and everybody stood up and clapped. And it took me a moment, but then I got up and clapped as well. So, for fear of them finding out. In 2005, the USA voted that gay marriage was finally legal. And I was in New York City that summer for a wedding. But I was also on my quest to find God. There was this church that I was listening to their podcast, and they were very fundamentalist. And so I had to go and see for myself, be there and see and experience this preacher and this congregation. And when I arrived, something was missing. I felt alone and I didn't feel God's presence. Preaching was the same, but something was missing. So a friend of mine was in Philadelphia and she was at a teacher's conference, and I just took a bus and went to meet her. And then I came back on that Sunday after the decision was made for legalized same-sex marriage, and went to a church called MCC. And this preacher was speaking about Jesus calling Lazarus out of the tomb. And the one thing I remember about that was when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come out." The next thing Jesus spoke was to the others around him, and he said, "Unbind him." So basically it was a message to the rest of everybody to let us be who we are. That message struck me to the core. Up until then, I was still wavering on whether or not me being gay was a sin, but this was the catalyst for me. God had spoken. I felt it deep inside. Something changed. And after that, I was invited to march in my first gay pride parade in New York City. I didn't allow myself to go to a gay pride parade until then. And I handed out stickers to everyone that said, "God made me gay and God made me queer," with tears in my eyes. So what do these two parts of myself that I have denied thus far for so long have to do with this day? The denominations I was a part of growing up never focused on what was going on in the world at the moment. It was always about how to conduct yourself so that you kept free from sin, so that you would not lose your salvation. The passages about God fighting for the alien, the orphan, and the stranger came alive for me after this year, in 2015. I could see that I was the alien, the orphan, the stranger, and that God was fighting for me. He was looking out for me. I was the lost coin in the parable, the lost treasure found in the ground, the lost sheep. But not only for me, but for all those who are like me. For those who are of the LGBTQ+ community, and also for those who are of First Nations origin. You are welcome here. I can say that because I have been invited here and welcomed. So what do the readings today have to say about this? And what could I draw from them that would speak to this day of celebration coming up? Isaiah is a book that unveils the full dimensions of God's judgment and salvation. In this passage we read earlier, Isaiah is stressing the goodness of God after describing her majesty. Such a God is able to deliver and restore her distressed people if they wait on her. I sometimes ask myself why I continue to come to church after all these years, especially to a church that ran 26 out of the 80 church-run, government-funded residential schools in Canada. Well, for one, I was personally invited by Andrew and Marnie, and I see a humility and willingness to acknowledge the past wrongs and a deliberate focus on making St. Bridget's a safe space for those of us on the margins who have experienced past harms from the church about who we are. Another reason is that 18 of the 30 Canadian dioceses have some kind of structure and episcopal support for indigenous Anglicans to gather and have a voice, and the Diocese of New Westminster is one of them. And I think that one reason is that we're all here together to remind each other of this, that God has not forgotten us as a community made up of LGBTQ+ and our allies. And we also welcome those of other faiths, and of course, those of any race and ethnicities. This passage from Isaiah is a reminder of who God is, and that we are to trust in her and draw strength from her. And how we do that is to encourage and strengthen one another. A good, perfect example of that is the food train for Marianne coming up after her surgery, because she'll be unable to cook for herself and her family because of her surgery. Amen.